never gives up. He'll stay till the fight's won. G.I. Joe will dare. G.I. Joe.
Everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show. This is Knowing is Half the Podcast, and I am Race Decanus.
I'm Robert Clark Jan.
I'm Gina Ippolito.
And nobody even tried to cut me off when I started the show, and that's how you know how tired everyone is. This will not be another hour and 45-minute conversation about an 11-minute cartoon. Oh, no.
Honestly,
it will not be, because everybody will want to go to bed.
If we go 15 minutes on this goddamn 22-minute show, I will be shocked, because this is just nothing.
Yeah.
How do you mean this is nothing? This is wonderful.
I think he just means, because I don't have many notes. I don't have many criticisms. I just don't have many notes. I will say, though, the people on Twitter have spoken, and they enjoyed that crazy high energy Saturday.
We have gotten positive comments back at us saying, hey, guys, our 45-minute show about an 11-minute cartoon where you barely talked about the goddamn cartoon, and it made us happy. And I don't know. I don't even know. Why are we even talking about cartoons anymore?
We got to it eventually. It's good. We did some cartoon analysis in the first half, and then we talked about the actual cartoon we were watching in the second half. I think it's a nice little amuse-bouche to be like, here are other cartoons that do this stupid thing. And then to go into the 11-minute Punky Brewster, Sean Doon gopher thing. Go listen to it, everybody. I listened to it when I was running errands yesterday. It was a delight. Ray put the commercial in the correct spot this time.
I still don't believe it myself. Wow. No, look, maybe this show's kind of fun. I don't know.
The people seem to think so. I don't know. I'm with Chan, though. I don't know if they'll think so on this one, because this was sort of a nothing burger. And I didn't dislike it. I'm just saying it's like a meal that's like pretty good. You're not going to go home and be like, wow, I had a meal that was pretty good tonight. Like, you're not going to go bragging about it in the streets. You're also not going to say like, hey, I found a rat in my pasta tonight. I feel like some TV shows are rats in a pasta.
Okay.
Some TV shows are like too good for this show, too good a meal for this show. Most probably fall into the big nothing burger category. This is kind of a nothing burger.
I do not care for your continued use of the Trumpism nothing burger.
What? That was a phrase before Trump.
What? Who used that before Trump?
Are you kidding me?
Old white men, Chan. Oh, I see why you would get there.
That nothing burger has been a thing since the 90s, dude.
This is like a Jersey thing.
And
I say that with as much disdain as humanly possible. That Jersey.
Even the Wikipedia says it was first coined in the 1950s by Hollywood gossip columnist Lula Parsons, and has a history of use in American political systems. It reached its peak in the late 2010s. So, in other words,
it's over now and you're still going.
Yeah.
I feel like you should embrace diversity and call it a nothing empanada.
I don't even remember Trump saying it because I've known it for so long. Like, all these articles that I'm looking at are from pre-Trump.
How about a nothing Pokeball?
I got a Pokeball the other night, and it was real good. It wasn't like this episode of G.I. Joe,
which is just okay. I wish you would stop calling your vagina a Pokeball.
Never! It's got everything!
I don't think nothing Pokeball really fills it, though. I'd say nothing Masubi.
Nothing Masubi.
I think that works.
No, because Masubi is always going to be magical, no matter what.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you're not wrong.
You can have a nothing Pokeball, but you can't have a nothing Masubi.
I've never had a nothing Pokeball. It's always been very satisfying. I'm not going to lie.
I've had some that are better than others, whereas like the Masubi I've had is just always delicious. I don't know if you had the one from Jollibee.
Jollibee has
masubi? Absolutely.
I don't know about that.
Isn't Jollibee like barbecue or something like that?
What?
Wow, Gina, have you never been to Jollibee?
What is happening right now? How am I more culturally in tune than Gina Ippolito?
No, I have been to Jollibee. It's that little like ant thing. His little face, like a bee.
It's a jolly bee. Gina. What is wrong with
Wait,
you?
Wait, but
bee
why
is
he
the name?
But he's not yellow though. So why is he like orange?
Wait, he is literally yellow. I'm going to find it. Hold on. This is outrageous to me.
Right,
I am so
Google
upset
it.
With you right now.
Gina has.
No. I'm looking at him now. He is not yellow. He is orange and sometimes brown.
He is red and yellow. If you look at any picture of him from any Google image search, what are you talking about?
I'm on the Jollibee website right now.
Did you just call it Gollibee?
No, I said Jollibee.
Oh, no. Oh. Is this a Gomer Pyle episode suddenly? What's happening?
Also, why did you crap on me when I said, isn't it like barbecue? It's literally chicken.
It is fried chicken and spaghetti and musubi.
And hamburgers.
That is not a barbecue thing.
I guarantee you there is chicken with barbecue sauce and there are baked beans with barbecue sauce.
Here comes Gina with the nonsense.
Gina, take the L.
Also, I'm looking at it literally right now and there is not musubi anywhere on this shit.
Well, maybe they've taken it off the menu.
That's why I was asking because I was not, I would, why is there a squid walking around my house? Jesus Christ.
You know, if you look up a Jollibee musubi, you will absolutely, on the Jollibee Union City episode, there is a Yelp page. Oh God. Yeah. That looks terrible. Okay. Hold on. I'm sending you a link. I'm going to put it in our chat right now.
Yo, I'm literally on Jollibee United States looking at their full menu. They have some shit ass looking spaghetti, some fried chicken. Nowhere on this website is musubi.
The spaghetti actually has ground beef as well as like cut up hot dogs in it. It's delicious. This is Filipino food. So if you don't like it, you're racist, Gina. I'm sorry to tell you.
They apparently got rid of the musubi. 2020, it says they got rid of the spam sandwiches.
There it is. Yep. I'm just looking at that right now. Unfortunately, this particular Yelp page of this particular Jollibee is not favorable to the location.
Yeah, it is.
But look at that picture. You look at that picture of the thing I just sent you. It is basically a wheat Hawaiian roll with a piece of sad-looking spam in the middle and nothing else.
God.
This is why I say spam musubi, not always magical. Ray is right. That's all I'm trying to say.
I don't think
that's
spam musubi. There's a few. There's like.
That's not musubi. That's not musubi.
That's what I'm saying. It's like
that's what it was on the menu.
You need rice for there to be spam musubi. That is just a hamburger bun with a piece of meat in the middle of it. That's not like I can shave off someone's pubes and then sprinkle it with oregano and pasta sauce. That ain't spaghetti. Like they can call it whatever they want, but that is not musubi.
To be fair, Gina, I've had your cooking before, and that might still be delicious. I'm just saying.
They called them spam bites.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say there's no – and even in the reviews, they call them spam sandwiches, so that is not musubi. You can't just have one ingredient and call it a thing, Ray.
I feel like there was more than just that in there. I feel like this picture isn't actually doing full justice. It wasn't so bad. But that looked so bad.
No, but
it just wasn't rewarding. Not like a good spam musubi.
Even if it's good, it's not. Nowhere do they call it musubi. They're literally at one part they call it a burger, in another part they call it a sandwich. Like you can't.
Well, these are reviewers, though. These are Yelpers who are not always the smartest people in the world.
Spam bites.
Spam bites of musubi.
No, that's not. That's not. You can't just add words to things.
All right, hold
musubi
on.
Musubi has rice in it.
I appreciate you people trying to stretch out this episode that I thought would only be 15 minutes long, but I will only be tracking it from the point we start talking about this worthless piece of crap.
Let's do it I'm just going to get mad at Ray for just inventing like foods that are not
I will say right now, G.I. Joe Ninja Battles. This is the third of three G.I. Joe short films that we will be talking about here at the end of season six of Knowing Is Half the Podcast. Ninja Battles is basically a giant animated comic with a little bit of the old school Valor versus Venom CGI mixed in with it, and a new bit of CGI at the very end.
You don't get to call it old school, and you say animated comic like that's a good thing.
Animated comics are delightful, and I will die on this hill.
Oh,
animated comics
are
great.
That was what your chat meant. I watched it the other day, and I was like, what is, I don't know what Ray's talking about. I actually prefer an animated comic, which basically, this was just like still animation in frames. I would much rather have that because than the shitty computer animation, because anytime they flash back to the computer animation, it was like, it's like you're dating someone who's ugly. So like you take them to dimly lit places and then just all of a sudden someone throws up the lights. Like,
oh God.
I was kind of vibing with the, like, I was like, okay, this artwork is cool. The shots of just regular artwork, I will take this any day over the eye assault. And then someone would throw on the light. They would abruptly shift back to computer animation. And I did not appreciate that.
That's why they always wanted to go to the goth clubs. Oh no!
Sorry, man.
Sorry, having self-realization.
Sorry to break
here.
It. Yep.
No, so upsetting.
I like these opening credits too. I was just happy to not. I was happy to get opening credits that, like, I was just happy anytime I got a break from computer animation.
Yeah, I found it delightful. Look, I am a big fan of motion comics going back to like the 90s when that's a way we would watch some anime. You would buy them on CD-ROM and you would watch animated. Motion comics, which is essentially like a comic book, and then like some things will slightly change or slide over in frame to create, you know, the illusion of motion, whatever. And I love the concept. If you watch the Digital Sky show from Zoit Media that me and Mr. James Gavsy were a part of, they did their entire audio drama as a motion comic, and I thought it worked. I thought it paid off. I really like that style. So going back to my youth, I am a fan of this. So when I saw immediately that this Ninja Battles thing was basically a motion comic, which can be done also very cheaply, for the record, if you got a good artist especially, I was on board immediately. I loved what I was seeing. It made me happy to see that this was the direction they were going in.
Here we go.
The only defense that I can mount of this thing is that they probably had $0 and were told to make a thing that would be put on a videotape that would be given away with a Burger King kids meal. So, you know, like, I'm not mad at anybody who was involved in the making of it, but like watching an animated comic, I get that sense of nostalgia and, you know, like more power to you. But to me, it's just like a step backwards. It's like, why are we even bothering?
Because it's awesome.
I would rather
really
read
fun.
A comic.
But would you rather see that shitty computer animation though? Because that was what I thought we were getting. And I was just really relieved that we didn't for most of it. For like 85% of it, I didn't have to watch that shitty shit.
I mean, it's like, do you want to get kicked in the nuts or do you just want to be elbowed repeatedly in the face?
Whoa,
neither are good options.
You think that the comics are equal? You think that the comic style is equally as bad as that terrible? I think you forget how terrible the computer animation was.
And you just saw it in the episode we just watched in part. So
but a lot of it was like really bad in the other episodes. I don't think to me these aren't, even if you don't like the style of that like still frame drawing style, it's there is no way it is as bad as the computer animation.
I thought it was way better. I was a much bigger fan of that style as opposed to the CGI.
And I can't tell, like, if Chan's only complaint is, well, why would they do this? This is dumb. I would much rather have this than having to sit through 20 minutes of hideous. I think you forgot how hideous the faces are in this computer animation. And
yeah, look, I'll add in a little bit more detail here. Ninja Battles, 22 minutes long, released the same year as Valor vs. Venom, a little bit later. It was also written, just like I believe Valor versus Venom, by Garfield Reeve Stevens and Judith Reeve Stevens, the dynamic duo, as we will call them. And yeah, it's a motion comic, which is, you know, essentially, I mean, well, we've talked about it. You know what it is. Go look up Digital Sky on YouTube if you need better examples of what a motion comic is. Or heck, just watch Ninja Battles. Now that I think about it, that would probably help. What the heck, you guys? This actually, and I'm reading on the Wikipedia page here, is that the Ninja Battle set, it came in a set, and it included a Valor versus Venom comic, a Battle Arch, the DVD of Ninja Battles, and a 5-pack of figures: Storm Shadow, Tiger Claw, who's introduced here, Snake Eyes, Shadow Strike, also introduced here, and a Black Dragon Ninja, who did not appear in Ninja Battles, but does appear in the comic book, Valor versus Venom comic book, which is different than the DVD. There you go.
Great.
It's a good little present.
It's a lot of fun, everybody. I knew Chan. I thought Gina would be more on board. I guess you're sort of on board.
No, I am on board. I really liked this animation style. I'm genuinely trying to figure out what Chan found so offensive about it.
It's bad.
Like, the animation style is bad? I thought it was a delight.
The artistic style was whatever. It seemed like a pretty, you know, run-of-the-mill comic book style.
You say that like it's it's a bad thing.
Huh?
You say run-of-the-mill comic book style as if that's not an awesome thing.
If I'm watching it on a screen, that shit's better move.
It does kind of move.
If I wanted still pictures, I would read a comic book.
Aren't you one of those guys that like listens to books on tape and shit?
Yeah, thank you. I do, because I don't read.
I mean, I listen to Audible. I don't have a goddamn tape player.
Yeah, but that's like, that to me is like, why would you do that when you could read? And to me,
because I can't read, Gina. That's why.
Well, I know why you wouldn't do it.
I found that reading a book while I'm driving to work is unnerving for fellow highway denizens.
Yeah, but I mean, like, to me, this is the same thing. It's like there was, I think like a Joss Whedon X-Men cartoon that was a moving comic that was really good.
See?
That I really liked it. So I like this. I think because they're saving money in one area, oftentimes they can spend it other places.
Yeah, I thought where the writing did they was spend fine. It.
Not in this particularly, but it sounds like you just hate all moving comics, and I don't like that.
I enjoy reading moving comics.
Chan. Come on.
The comics are spinning and I'm sitting still, but nevertheless, there are some comics that you like read on an iPad or whatever like that, and there's some limited motion as you like turn the pages or, you know, like interact with them in some way. I'm okay with that. But kind of similar to visual novels, when, you know, you're opening up your Wii or whatever, your Nintendo Switch, and you're playing a visual novel, which is just, you know, a bunch of words on the screen, and then here comes a character that moves in. Like, why did I spend $300 on a goddamn video game machine, and I'm not playing a video game?
This is outrageous. I will fight you on this, because visual novels and those types of story-based games are a legitimate form of video games, Chan. I'm very unhappy with you right now.
They are.
This genre is to be beloved.
I don't like them for this, and I don't like first-person shooters either. And, you know, I'm not saying that they are
I will fight you on that too.
I just don't like them, and I don't like this.
Well, you're a miserable bastard, as we have well established. So I don't know what we were expecting.
Me neither.
I don't know. This is going to be another Ray and Gina versus Chan episode, everybody. I hope you're ready for it.
I mean, here's the thing. My position is going to switch abruptly the second that it turns to computer animation. And I say, oh, my God, turn off the lights. Turn off the lights. You're hideous.
Okay, well, this thing opens up, and it starts, and I just wrote here, is this a cheap anime-style open? Because I didn't understand what I was about to get into. It's real weird. It's very stylized.
Yeah, I liked it.
Very different than anything we've seen out of G.I. Joe before.
I liked it because it was stylized. Like you're talking about the opening credits, right? Because I thought the opening credits were cool. I didn't realize that that was like what we were going to be getting for the whole thing.
Same.
But yeah, I thought it was cool. Because it was different than what we'd seen, and also because like if this is part three of ninja battles, I was expecting more of the same, and so I was delighted to see that it wasn't. I also got to say, like they do a story structure in here that I find cool. I agree with Chan that they were like trying to save money. Clearly, at this point, like they were running out of money by the time they got to this. But I think it made them be sort of innovative with this whole four episodes within this episode thing, each named after an element. So I enjoy that. I enjoyed the opening credits.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. And they also added in a recap of Valor versus Venom in case, you know, you just joined us.
In case you needed filler.
In case you wanted to be reminded why this animation style is better than that dog shit animation style.
It's kind of where I was coming from. Yeah. All of the above. Yes. Because this is delightful. I would point out again. We get new characters we're being introduced to. Now, I don't think we've talked a lot about the comic book Arashikage clan.
We
and kind of the storyline behind that. Right, Chan, back me up here.
We could just skip right by it and not
why
even
would we
lose
it is essential. These are characters who only existed in the comic books and have not existed in the TV show up to this point. I think it would be important for Ray to give you a brief off the top of my head history lesson about the Arashikage clan of G.I. Joe. Am I wrong?
I mean, when are you not wrong?
All the time, Chan. It's literally the hashtag. Keep up. So the Arashikage clan, the simple version for you noobs, and I'll probably get half of it wrong, but they're a Japanese ninja clan, right? And so this is where Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow both trained. They both came from. They both have that tattoo with the what do you call it, the rectangles on their shoulders. That is the symbol of the Arashikage clan in Japan. These two were brought up as brothers. They were trained by a guy named Hard Master. I know. Get it out now. Okay. His name is Hard Master. And it turns out that he is Storm Shadow's father. And it is Snake Eyes' adopted father because they brought him in and they trained together. And this created, of course, tension, not as far as Snake Eyes is concerned, but very much where Storm Shadow is concerned because he is supposed to be the one, but Snake Eyes is better than him and he doesn't like it. This helped propel his turn to darkness, which is exactly what this show is about. This episode is about. Through all of this, and I forget exactly who shot, I think Zartan sniper rifled Hard Master in bringing down the Arashikage clan, and then Cobra swooped in and told Storm Shadow, hey, Snake Eyes did it. So Snake Eyes, who loved Hard Master like a father, Storm Shadow thought that Snake Eyes killed him. He didn't. Storm Shadow used that hatred to join Cobra, then later kind of got the truth of the situation, found out what was really going on, and that's why in later iterations, Storm Shadow joins G.I. Joe, because he's figured it out, basically. And that's what you need to know going into this.
I will also say that this is like, if you've seen the live action movie, Snake Eyes covers a lot of this. I think it's like the first like 10 minutes of the movie is basically this. Also, one of the live action G.I. Joes, I think they do a flashback of this. Can't remember.
Yeah, something like that, you know.
Can't remember. But yeah, I was already familiar with it from the live action movies. It's always the same thing. I will say that, like, you know, this Ninja Battles makes a big deal about like, okay, well, like Snake Eyes, he was duped by Cobra because Cobra's evil. But like Snake Eyes, like this proves that Snake Eyes is like always kind of been a dick.
You talking about Storm Shadow? You talking about
Storm Shadow? Gosh,
I was gonna say, not it. Snake Eyes is the opposite of a dick in this. I know.
Okay. Well, they have one is like you should name the snake one, the Cobra one, the snake, and the.
Doesn't that make sense?
It does. Yeah. This tries to be like, oh, well, Storm Shadow, like he was manipulated by Cobra and by the forces of Cobra and blah, 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 blah. But like he was like a little bitch. Like he's just like a teenage bitch is what I'm saying.
I mean, look, he's got insecurities. And those insecurities come out through the trials.
Don't excuse
and reveal him to have
because
less
you
character.
Made a lot of mistakes in your 20s and 30s.
Gina, what was your first impression? How did you come to that conclusion?
I'm just saying you're a dude that will be like, ah, this guy's only 37 years old. You can't expect him to not be a shitty person. He's practically a teen.
Ninjas Gina, will be ninjas.
What if I told you, Gene, I also made a lot of mistakes in my 40s?
Yeah, when we're podcasting, when we're 50, there's going to be a character that's like a 45-year-old who's like doing shitty things to kill another ninja. And you're going to be like, look, not everyone is fully formed by the time they're 45. You got to wait until you're 65 to do that.
Thank you. Finally, someone who gets it.
Can I just say, I just discovered today that the hosts of Buffering the Vampire Slayer?
Yes.
Very long-running podcast. Very good. Enjoy it very much.
I know what you're going to say.
Not familiar
with this. The hosts, I believe, were together. They were dating at the beginning of the podcast.
No, they were married at the beginning of the podcast.
Were they married at the beginning of the podcast?
They were married. Okay. They referred to each other as wives. Their separation happened in season 3.
Okay, I haven't made it that far yet.
Okay, and then they do address it because for the first like 2 seasons they were basically like, "Oh, don't worry everyone, like no matter what we'll finish the podcast. Like we won't leave you burned like other podcasts." And then at some point, and you can sort of sense the decline in their relationship.
This sounds horrifying.
But then they finished the show.
They do. Yeah, they do. They have on more guests as like, forgive the pun, but as buffers, they have more guests on, and they take a little bit of like a breather because they have a friend come on to do guest episodes of Angel. They have a friend who has an Angel podcast, so they slot those in. You know, when you start watching Angel.
Concurrently.
Yeah, exactly. Then they're not like recording as often, which gives them a break. And now one of them I believe is already married to another woman.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, I didn't know that. Or at least
like dating another woman or something like pretty seriously.
Because they just started a new run. And I think they're doing X-Files. And then there's mention in the notes that they're ex-wives. And I'm like,
yeah,
holy shit.
Yeah. They also did. Yellow Jackets.
I
mean, they very clearly like make a lot of money off of this. The fact that they're making in like a new song every episode, they have merch, they do live shows. Like it's clearly their only job is this podcast. So when that happens, even if you get divorced, you're like, well, we either don't make money anymore or we like get
stay
over
together
it.
Together for the cast.
Yeah, oh, exactly.
Man. Stay together for the podcast. That's amazing.
And it's smart too, because like once I'm done with Buffy, I'm unsubscribing from their podcast. But it's smart that they like, it's just like when I go to that podcast to listen to the next episode, it's like Yellow Jackets, this, that. They just add it on to the end, even though, you know, so they know it's like everyone knows it's like, well, it's still the two of us and it's still going to be the same format. So it's smart.
I mean, I'm ready to jump right into X-Files already. I'm just impressed that they managed to keep going after all that time through a divorce even. So now we have we have podcast goals now. We have to have a better acrimonious split where we're finally so sick of each other that we just can't stand to be in the same room with each other. And then
the problem is with recording over Zencastr, we're never in the same room as each other.
It's not a problem.
That makes it very difficult. The same virtual room as each other? Oh, Chan hates me now.
Yeah, Chan was like, you know what? I'm divorcing now.
I am checked out.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Nobody beats G.I. Joe! But now Destro's Demon has taken on G.I. Joe. Lasers beaming and cannons screaming. Joe better look out for Destro's Demon. The incredible two-level demon rolls over anything it can't destroy.
Destro!
And joining the attack is Destro's AGP.
Destro's leading the Iron Grenadiers.
Destro is an awesome new foe. But nobody beats G.I. Joe, a real American hero. Destro's Demon comes with driver, AGP with pilot. Joe! Now, back to G.I. Joe.
So, let's talk about G.I. Joe some more. What the heck, we're here in El Chan. This is going to be a longer episode than the Punky Brewster one, just to spite you. I'm convinced of it. I wrote here, animated comic, ? And the answer was yes. Wonderful. We're introduced to a new ninja character of the Arashikage clan, because that's where this takes place. Tiger Claw is his name, and he's just figuring his stuff out.
Just clearly a brand of hard seltzer.
Oh, yeah. It's orange flavored White Claw. It's called Tiger Claw.
Yeah.
And they got Charlie Sheen to advertise it.
Yeah. It's just a terrible flavor.
Tastes like tiger. He's hanging out with a guy named Iron Master, who is his sensei, his master. And he's talking about something called the Sundering, which, you know, nobody is talking about at this point. But we're going to learn about it.
I will always talk about when single shines the triple sun, what was sundered in and done shall be whole again, the two made one, by Gelfling hand or else by none. That is just some words that I live by.
Bravo.
I have no idea what any of that means.
Bravo.
God damn it, Ray.
Is that Red Badge of Courage?
Yes.
The word Gelfling didn't tip you off to anything?
Oh, shit. Lord of the Rings.
I imagine that Ray thinks that the Gelflings were one of the countries that fought in World War I.
Yeah, they're an offshoot of France. Everybody knows that.
Did we get to the fact that this is episode one yet, or are we not there?
What do you mean by episode one?
There are four episodes within this movie.
Oh, you're talking about the trials.
Episodes?
The trials.
Jesus Christ, Gina.
They do call them episodes.
Oh, you know how Hamlet's broken up into a five-episode structure?
They call them episodes.
Yeah, each episode is referring to a trial, so it's like there's a huge preamble to get us there, and then the fourth trial just takes us to the end of the movie.
Who calls it an episode?
They themselves do, in fact, call it episodes.
Yeah, on the Wikipedia page, and... Yeah.
You know when they have that still frame that comes in that says episode one, the trial of water.
Did it say episode on there?
It did, yeah.
I must have just blanked that out.
So,
the four trials, they referred to them as episodes, but the first one is Mizu, the trial of water.
Yeah, thank you for getting the real name. I just wrote trial of water.
No, Mizu.
The Iron Master is basically telling Tiger Claw, you got to know about the Sundering, which is an event that happened in the Arashikage clan with the two most famous ninjas, Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow. You know who Hard Master is. He was the trainer of both of them. And I need to tell you the story to advance your training in the clan. And that's our premise for why we're doing this. Absolutely. Trial one, what was it?
Mizu.
Mizu, the trial of water. And there are going to be four trials in total, which were essentially proving grounds of Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow to prove their ninja skills or prove their, you know, interior fortitude. And the first one, I actually knew this one. I knew this parable before, so I was kind of excited when I saw it. Because I'm like, I know it.
A two-year-old would know this.
Okay, I did not know it at two, and neither did you. Stop lying, TV's Gina Pulido.
If someone said to you as a kid, you need to each get each other's bowl of water, but you can't fight for it, wouldn't your first thought be, well, can we just fucking give it to each other? Like,
well, because it's specifically laid out that you can both win the trial. And so therefore, like, there's assuming to be some sort of opposition by handing each of you a bowl and saying you need the other one's bowl. That implies, but you're not allowed to take it from them. And you're not allowed to spill any either. I don't think that was actually said here, but that is the way as I understood it to be.
No, you're just thinking of the movie The Golden Child when Eddie Murphy has to make it across those posts and he's not allowed to spill a drop of water. And every time I watch it, I wonder if he could just hold the water in his mouth and jump over and then spit it back into the cup. He doesn't do that, but I wonder it every time I watch that movie.
But like, if you swallow the water accidentally, do you have to like barf it back into the cup? That's kind of not cool.
I mean, just don't swallow the water. Just hold it in your mouth.
He's for you to say. He's jumping on those poles. Anyway, it's a cooperation test. And the idea is that you each have to give your bowl to the other one. And then you could both win the trial, which, you know, assumes because it's not said that only one can win. But you might assume it. So you might try to go about it in a different way.
We have to assume that ninjas are fucking terrible at those lateral thinking puzzles.
Like, yeah. Have to be.
Oh my God, that's my son. How was the doctor able to say that was their son? It was a woman? What?
Whoa. Just blew my mind. Storm Shadow still finds a way to win, though. I'll put that out there, because they hand each other the bowls. Then he kicks, sweeps Snake Eyes to the ground, grabs his bowl, and then catches all the water in it. Now, that leads me to believe, yes, they needed to not drip any water, because he makes a point to catch all of the water, right? And then Storm Shadow's like, I win, effer. And Snake Eyes is like, yo, dog, it was a cooperation exercise. He goes, yeah, and I cooperate better than everyone. It was great. It was a great moment. I was happy for Storm Shadow to win the unwinnable co-op scenario. I don't like co-op games.
I don't think he won.
There is no winning here.
Yeah,
they did
exactly.
Say nobody won and nobody lost, but come on, we both know Storm Shadow.
No, I actually think because he lost the respect of his father.
He hasn't totally lost it yet. That's coming later.
No. It's the first cut of a thousand cuts. Like, his father is just like, oh shit, did I raise an asshole? Oh no.
Oh yes, you did.
I'm pretty sure he knew before then.
Yeah, I think every parent knows, but like, I think it starts young and you're like, crap, I think my kid's a dick. But then like at some point you're like, they're almost to adulthood, or they're like reaching adulthood, and you're like, damn it, I was like hoping they would grow out of being a dick. And I think that's this moment for his dad. His dad is like, crap. I was hoping he would grow out of being a dick, but I don't think he's going to.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I was a real dick, and I'm just so happy to say I grew out of it. My parents are very happy with me now.
Some kids grow out of it.
See, there you go. I can speak personal experience. And
some kids, not you, but some kids.
Some kids take 40 some odd years to grow out of it. And learning. Maybe 65. Who knows? I'm just saying, give those kids a chance.
I'm saying I think this is a true loss for him, because it's the first time where his dad's like,
nobody won and nobody lost. Didn't we just say that?
That is what he said in the TV show.
But he lost respect. So
he gained my respect, though. If I was his dad, I'd
no
be like,
one
yeah,
no, that is
right.
Not a prize that anyone wants, Ray.
Damn it. Jollibee was trying, but then they wouldn't call it Musubi. So
it's because it's not Musubi. You need rice for Musubi.
There could be rice in there. What's stopping them from putting
it's
a little
not,
rice in
it
there?
Literally, I looked at the description and it just said
no, it's a sandwich. It is. I remembered it wrong. Okay. Trial number two, or as we would call it, episode two, starts right after this. Okay. There it is. I did it.
Wow.
How good was that break, you guys?
We'll see.
I don't think you could do two in a row.
I don't think so either. I think I just ruined it. Episode two, Trial of Earth. Gina, what's the other name for this?
Suki.
Suki. Trial of Earth.
Suki.
This is where we introduce that there is a red ninja spy named Shadow Strike, who Cobra has sent to infiltrate the Arashikage clan.
The 90s and their fucking names.
Shadow Strike.
Shadow Strike.
Good ass
name. Knife Blood. Blade Dark.
It'd be Dark Blade Chan. Come on. Get real. Ooh.
Blade Dark has got more of an edge to it because it's reversed.
Yeah, that would be like the 2023 like parody of that culture would call it Blade Dark.
Yeah.
That would be the Rick and Morty version of that ninja. Well, after the problematic guy left. Not before. Well, the other problematic guy is still there, sure. But like the extra problematic guy is gone and they will recast 23 actors to replace all the people that he voiced. Unfortunately, that means they could not hire any writers. I'm sorry, Gina.
I mean, they don't hire women writers anyway, so.
Yikes!
Ooh, harsh,
a little too real up here. A little too real up in here. So we got the Trial of Earth, and this is pretty cool. This is, you must, you know, conquer the Earth around you. And again, it was a lateral thinking puzzle, as Chan said. It is you're standing on poles, and then the poles jut out of the ground. So you're standing on all these poles above the ground on the tops of the poles. And Snake Eyes wins by literally just cutting down all the poles except the one he's on, which to me doesn't feel that different than how Storm Shadow won the first trial.
Yeah.
Didn't feel that different to me, but Snake Eyes wins, and Storm Shadow definitely loses the second one. And everybody's like, what a brilliant strategy he was to cut out the ground from everybody else. What a winner that Snake Eyes is. This feels very unfair to me. I feel like they both kind of did the same thing in different ways. And yet Snake Eyes is getting praised and Storm Shadow's getting vilified. And I can see why he'd be a little pissed off right now.
Yeah, I guess the difference is that there was no cooperative way to do this one.
Oh, really? Maybe they just didn't think hard enough.
Yeah, wow.
Maybe if they both, like, knocked out all of the woods, then, like, they could stand together on one and, like, hug. Like,
high-five each other. Yeah, thank you. I've read Real Ultimate Power.
But I think it was also... Okay, so Suki, the Trial of Earth. Earth is considered to be solid and supportive, resisting change, but giving strength.
Didn't resist that much change, to be honest.
But this trial is designed to test a ninja's use and understanding of force alone. So that's why it's like with each lesson, I guess you're supposed to sort of take something away. So like the lesson he was supposed to learn was to defeat your enemy in battle. To defeat your enemy in battle, first defeat the battleground.
I mean, that's honestly kind of awesome. It's a great art of war kind of moment, and I'm here for it.
Yeah,
I
think he's just faster to grasp what, like for the I'm on the Wikipedia page. The Trial of Water is considered to be shifting, formless, taking the shape of whatever confines it. The trial is designed to test the ninja's understanding and mastery of strategy. So the best strategy, which is what the first trial is about, is to just give you trade water bowls with your partner. In Suki, it's you're supposed to defeat the battleground before you defeat your enemy. So I understand that they seem similar to a dinosaur brain like you, Ray, but to Snake Eyes, he figured out the lesson he was supposed to learn each time before Snake Eyes did, or before. I can't keep these fucking ninjas straight.
You're both wrong. Solid, supportive, resisting change, but giving strength says to me that one must work the wood. One must be strong as the wood is hard. You must defeat the battleground. You must make it soft by being hard to the wood.
Like a hard master.
Like a hard master.
Okay.
Give strength. Give your strength to the wood.
Oh my God.
And the wood will then wilt and you will be the victor.
And to the victor go the spoils.
To the victors go the sperm. Because I'm talking about a hand job.
Oh.
So
no one
that makes so
one
much
got
more
that.
Sense.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's why I am the lateral thinking master.
It's true. It's true.
I'm smart master. You got iron master and hard master and smart master. That's me.
I just see you now in that kind of oversized kimono with the giant sleeves sitting off in the corner. And then there's just like, I just don't get it. I don't understand why cutting down the poles was good, but kicking him and taking both bowls was bad. I don't understand. And then you just raise your head up and just a little bit of light hits your chin. You say, I am the smart master. I will explain this to you in a parable.
About your ding dong.
About your ding dong. Yeah. Yeah. Well. And then they say, God damn it, smart master. You always ruin the moment. And then you're like, hashtag nobody wins.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
That's my backstory.
Yeah, we could end the show here. Don't, though. Try episode 3. The Trial of Wind, which I wrote as Kaze. So I don't know. Kaze, yeah.
You wrote one down? I wrote
3 and 4 because I realized halfway through maybe I should be writing these down, but didn't bother to go back and find them.
Oh my God.
It's like a
20 minute thing that you control on your computer to rewind and fast forward. That's insane.
A lot of work. It's a lot of work, dude. Trial of Wind, bladed weapons. This is to you. And they do it fighting on rope bridges, which are suspended. It was crazy. And so it's basically just the second one again, which I thought was a little bit weird, except instead of on poles, it's on rope bridges, where they cut down the rope bridges they're standing on to beat each other. And I'm like, this is sort of the exact same thing we just did.
You say that about each one. So the Trial of Wind, wind is considered to be forceful or subtle, striking from all directions, but always unseen. This trial is designed to test a ninja's understanding and mastery of bladed weapons. So you truly don't get subtlety, right? Because each one is supposed to teach you something different. First one.
What did this teach us different than 2, though?
This one is about mastering bladed weapons. They needed to figure out how to cut
rope with a sword.
But they cut poles with the sword. The last one, though, they used bladed weapons in the second one as well.
Actually, no, he kicked those down, I believe.
No, he used a sword, yo. He better have, because I said it out loud just now. I'm fairly certain they had swords. Anyway, we'll come back to that. Storm Shadow wins again through treachery. And this is what kills me. It's like he's about to lose. Snake Eyes reaches out, grabs his hand. And he like throws a throwing star, which then knocks down Snake Eyes. So he loses. And then like grabs another rope and he's fine. And Storm Shadow wins.
That's a bladed weapon.
I mean, it's got a sharp edge. Is that a bladed weapon? A shuriken?
He doesn't win, though, because then his daddy breaks his sword.
But that's what I don't understand. Again, he won the trial. I can see why he's frustrated, is what I'm trying to say. It feels like he's operating within the parameters of each challenge, finding unique ways to win through treachery, yes, but
no,
he's doing
but
you, it.
But you're
he's
not
being,
supposed
he's being vilified for
ninjas
it.
Are not supposed to use treachery. Ninjas
they're
are
not what since when? What?
Not for these trials. They're not. They're supposed to like figure out like honorable ways.
What, Gina? What do you know about ninjas that would you think they would be honorable?
I'm saying in this clan of ninjas, their whole thing is honor.
Chan, you want to take this one?
I do not. This is ridiculous. It'd be like saying like, okay, you're going to take the Microsoft network certification test. Here's the test. Make a steak. Cook a steak. Cook it perfectly. Make it medium rare. Like, cool. That's a thing. It's definitely a valid skill to have. That's not what the fucking certification is for. So why are we even bothering with it? The whole point of a ninja is to use deceit and guile and trickery.
Yes.
To achieve your ends.
Not this clan. That's their whole
thing.
They're
not bad ninjas then.
Well, their whole thing throughout the history of G.I. Joe, by the way, is like, oh, okay, like... You're it's supposed to be honorable. You don't kick someone when they're down. You like you give someone a weapon if they don't have one so that it can be a fair fight. So you can test yourself against them.
I'm reminded of the child's book about pirates that says a good pirate never takes anyone else's belongings, which is a great lesson for children, but absolutely not correct about pirates.
Even pirates have a code, man.
I don't think any of their codes involved not taking things from people.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. But I'm sure there's some sort of code. It's probably like, you know, don't like if you find a kid with cancer, don't take his medicine or something.
No, you just throw him in the water. Sorry.
It'd be better pirates. For him. I mean, like pirates. They didn't have a whole lot of cancer drugs back then.
I don't think they knew what cancer was. That was just the demon trying to get out of you.
Yeah, they knew what cancer was. They just couldn't do anything about it.
Well, here's the deal. Storm Shadow absolutely, apparently, despite winning the trial, has ruined his own future. Hardmaster breaks his sword right in front of him, which to me, kind of a dick move. I'm not on Hardmaster's side here. Like, there's ways to express your disappointment that don't involve breaking his property. And a ninja values his sword. I don't know. And then you find out through the plot here that Hardmaster is Storm Shadow's father, which we already ruined earlier. So sorry. That's a thing.
Yeah, I think as Chan said, he's probably known for a while that he's a dick. So this is just, he's probably been trying to teach him for a while. And this was the straw that broke the ninja's back.
It feels very much like he's just grandstanding and virtue signaling to the rest of the clan. Some stuff that, you know, he didn't take care of a long time ago. Like, I disagree. I think this is bad parenting. I'll just say it. Bad mentoring, bad parenting, bad ninja-ing. Bad job, Hardmaster.
I like it. I think discipline that kid. Break his fucking sword and everything else. Break his leg.
Gina's the person who throws the Nintendo Switch in the garbage when her kid disobeys.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't have even bought a kid like that a Nintendo Switch, though, at that point.
A kid like that. Gina, it's your kid. Well, of course you're going to buy him a Nintendo Switch. What are you talking
about?
Hell
no. Hell no. If I had a dick kid, he's not getting shit.
So the fourth trial. The Trial of Fire, otherwise known as Hi.
Hi.
Hey. Laser guns. This is the famed, critically acclaimed ancient ninja ritual involving laser pistols.
Boy. I mean, I was not on board from the jump. But when they got to fucking trial four as lasers, I was like, nope, I'm out.
Yeah, this is the one that I hated the most because they were very clearly like, well, just so you know, the toys have laser guns, so you need to work those in. And someone was probably like, but they're ninjas. And like the Hasbro people were like, yeah, so make one of the trials them fighting with guns, laser guns. It's so stupid. I liked the other three, but this was the one where I did not like. And also, let's see the description. Very stupid. The other descriptions you could see. Fire is considered to be a force of creation when used wisely, but a force of destruction when unleashed. The trial is designed to test a ninja's senses and demonstrate understanding the mastery of fire in all its forms. So I guess in all one of its forms includes as a laser gun.
And not just that. And they recreate the battle at the end of the movie Tango and Cash of all things. And they put them in a hall of mirrors with each other. And they say, shoot the fake ones, not the real ones. If you blow out all of the mirrored reflections of your enemy without actually blowing out your enemy, you win. But then they also don't put any security around it. So, like, Cobra Commander just rolls up in there and shoves Hardmaster in, at which point Storm Shadow shoots Hardmaster and kills him. First off, bad job. You were supposed to shoot the reflections, not the people. So you failed. And then Cobra Commander's in there, and he starts shooting people. And it just gets wild. Hardmaster ends up getting killed here, which is crazy. Cobra Commander has planted bombs with his spies all over the Arashikage Palace, and so he just blows the whole thing out.
What's Cobra Commander's beef with this crew?
he wants to recruit Storm Shadow, and he has a very elaborate plan to do so that involves framing Snake Eyes for murdering his father.
Oh, that's literally it? Okay.
Yeah, there's nothing. He also thinks the Arashikage clan at some point could be a threat to his own power.
Okay,
so
that's...
destroy the clan and take their best dude.
I was going to say, that's a lot to go through just to recruit some little dick.
Cobra Commander's plans are often top-heavy.
Yeah.
I'll say it. You take out the clan, you get the guy who you think is a great asset to your crew, and, turn him against the other guy who you hope to kill, but if you don't, then he's still, useful. So he blows out the Arashikage clan, which is apparently not gone because, Tiger Claw and Iron Master are here at the very beginning.
Well, yeah, I mean, he only kills one of them. He doesn't wipe out all of them, does he?
I mean, that was a big explosion to not kill anybody else.
You probably got a few.
Okay. I mean, that's not going to take out an entire clan.
Not an entire clan. No, they're obviously back. It's only been one generation later and they're back. So it's not like they were just slowed down. They weren't stopped by any stretch of the imagination. Which takes us, unfortunately, to the CGI current day.
Boo. Ooh, boy, this is when I shut my brain off, so I couldn't tell you what happens. Literally, my last note is, ugh, that switch at the end to computer animation sucks ass. And then that's my last note.
And this leads us to...
my note there at that point is, is this all they could afford? Like, this is how much new animation they're going to make? Great.
They do reuse a lot of Valor versus Venom animation in this as well. They'll cut back to like, hey, remember this? And then it'll just be like a 10-second clip from the CGI. They'll do that throughout as well. Didn't mention that, but that's a thing. This leads us to our big ninja battle, because the name of the movie is Ninja Battles, so we gotta absolutely have an actual ninja battle. We don't know what side Tiger Claw is gonna come on, but come on now, let's keep it real. So all the Joes and all the Cobras all show up at this moment of telling the story of them to interrupt, to have a fight. So on the Joe team, you've got Kamakura, Jinx, Snake Eyes, Duke for some reason.
Yeah, that was confusing to me, like why he's there, because they make it clear that he's been there the whole time and he's just like, oh, story time, I'm gonna eavesdrop, this is gonna be nice. It's like, why are you there, dude? Shouldn't you be like getting hit on the head somewhere or something?
He's a weeb.
I mean this is the thing about it though, because in my mind, Duke should get rolled by every single one of the people in this fight on both sides.
Yeah.
Like, he's not a ninja. He's well trained. He's a great fighter, don't get me wrong. But I would think a ninja of this caliber should take out Duke fairly easily, right?
One would hope.
Yeah.
They don't.
His talents lie in leading. I wouldn't say like the best at hand-to-hand combat or anything.
He's not bad, for the record. I'm not trying to say he's bad. I just think the ninjas are a step above. That's all. And Duke, as far as like putting people in positions to succeed and actually just like doing the job of like a leader, of an organization, excellent. Excellent. He does a great job of that. He puts all the snow guys in the snow thing and all the desert guys in the desert thing and all the aqua guys in the aqua thing, except for the fact that he also has the other people do the snow missions. Don't worry about that. On the side of Cobra, you've got, of course, Storm Shadow. You've got Shadow Strike, the Red Ninja Spy. And you've got our good friends Slice and Slash, who are not nearly as fun as they were in Valor versus Venom.
I don't even think they talk in this one, do they?
They do not talk in this one, no.
Yeah, very, very strange.
Missed opportunity, because we love them. I love them.
You love them. I want them to be Tomax and Zaymot.
I mean, to be fair, and you saw Tomax and Zaymot now have new figures from the new line, and they're $40 a piece.
Whee!
I thought about it, didn't pull the trigger.
Oh,
it's just too much. It's just too much.
Oh,
there's a big fight that happens. It's a CGI fight. There weren't a lot of highlights. It was just sort of like everybody sort of takes a position, some up in the rafters, some down on the ground. I thought the one highlight was Slice and Slash fighting against Tiger Claw, who does in fact join the side of the Joes. And they grab him by each arm, jump from the rafters, and put him through a table, Dudley Boy style. And I'll be honest, I think I've seen that live before. It was awesome. That was great. I loved it.
Yeah, this whole fight just mushed together in my brain.
It very much was a mushy fight.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you who's doing what. I assume the Joes win.
The good guys do, in fact, win. The Joes win. The Cobras kind of sadly have to, like, pull their wounded out of the temple, which was, like, a little too real. Like, there was some real damage done to these poor Cobras.
Oh, good thing they have a good health plan.
I mean, great. Best health plan. Better than G.I. Joe. I promise that right now.
Mm-hmm.
Although, if you get hit in the heart with a snake in G.I. Joe, you will only go into a coma and will survive, so.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's just Duke's special power.
You know, fair. He's a survivor. This leads to a great scene. Tiger Claw, join us in G.I. Joe. He goes, absolutely, I will join you in G.I. Joe. The end.
Yeah. And then I guess this guy's a new G.I. Joe.
I mean, he comes boxed in with the set playset that this DVD came in. So, yes.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? All in all, this three-parter... This included the weird, like, zoo animal DNA thing, right?
That was Valor versus Venom, yeah.
That's part of this, though, right?
I mean, it's part of the same continuity, but it's a different story.
Oh, but what is this part three of? Didn't we say this was part three of something?
There were three standalone short films. There was Spy Troops, and then there was Valor versus Venom, and then there was Ninja Battles.
Oh, yeah. So of those three sort of shared, like, in the same continuity, like, right. Let's just say that it's the equivalent of a season. Those three movies are sort of like their own season of a new G.I. Joe.
Right.
Other than the animation, I dug it. I dig it.
Yeah. I mean, I love seeing the old characters back again. Characters back here. As far as like animation goes, I'm a huge fan of the style of animated comics. I've said it before. So this was my favorite of the three, and then Valor versus Venom, and then unfortunately Spy Troops. But you know, I think the writers did a wonderful job.
Yeah.
I'm very, very happy with these for just being what they are. Let's keep it real. They are what they are. You know, there's only so much put into this. But I think they did a very good job. I think they captured the soul of G.I. Joe in all three of these films.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just excited. I'm happy they don't suck. I thought there was a good chance they would suck. None of them sucked, I don't think.
Yeah, I enjoyed the plots of each. I enjoyed seeing familiar faces, hated the computer animation, but I liked that some of the voice actors were still the same.
For these continuity-wise between these three movies, yes.
I liked the Cobra Commander voice actor in these three. I liked seeing the same characters. Like, for instance, I don't think if the next standalone movie is like, let's go back to, you know, what was the 90s one with the surfer dude and the Clancy?
Oh, you're talking about Deke era G.I. Joe. About G.I. Joe Extreme?
No, G.I. Joe Extreme. Like, okay. if I see those characters again, I don't think I would have any nostalgia for them. I think I'd be like, oh, Clancy, like, what are you doing? But these ones I did. I had a lot of nostalgia for them. So I enjoyed seeing
You know what?
Again.
It was sort of like in Fast and Furious 9 when they went over and visited with the guys from Tokyo Drift who weren't Han. And it was just sort of like, I actually had forgotten. They look very different now than they did then. A couple of them let themselves go. And I was just like, oh, who are these guys? And I had to be reminded, oh, those are the people from Tokyo Drift. That's why they're in this movie.
Uh-huh,
oh, okay. Uh-huh. That's fine again. That's how I would feel if Clancy and Metalhead and them showed up in a future G.I. Joe thing to what Gina said.
Yeah,
it's just
this
like,
was,
yeah, that's
this
not
was,
really why I'm here, but it's nice to see them.
This was more like every season of Cobra Kai when they're like, this person's still an actor. Let's get them for this season. And I'm like, yes, it's Evil Ponytail Guy.
He's the best.
Or like, oh, yes, his Asian girlfriend is still a super hottie.
So, Chan, what did you love about these three G.I. Joe short films?
Chan has burned his house down.
That they're over.
Oh, no. Oh. You've got to have more than that. Please, you've been here with us.
Yeah, the story structure of the first two were fine, and in some cases, much better than expected. The animation was atrocious, but you like, you know, I for the most part, I was like, okay, this is okay. This one really, I really did not care for it.
What? This is outrageous. It was so good. Me and Gina agree. Why can't you?
Because I have discretion.
But let me ask you, if it was the same story but fully animated, would you have liked it? I'm still not grasping what
it would have been marginally better. Okay. But like most of the time, when they try and do like real Asian stories, it just rubs me the wrong way. And it's not like I'm too invested or like, how dare you, you know, besmirch the good name of ninjas or whatever, but it just kind of like, oh god, this is
But this all comes from the mind of Larry Hama, who is an Asian American man.
Did Larry Hama write this?
No, but the whole Arashikage story and the thing it's based on is his writing.
Yeah,
you gotta give that OG writer credit, dude. Don't just erase his contribution.
Wow. Was he listed as in the credits?
He might.
Get a story by?
Honestly, probably somewhere by a thank you or something.
Or I will say, writers who create specific characters are, well, maybe not an animation, but they're due a character fee.
There you go.
Every time those characters are used. So he may have gotten paid for use of original characters that he created.
Cut Larry a check is what we're trying to say.
Yeah, give it to him.
I mean, I'm certainly for that. He did not get credited anywhere here in the in the IMDb credits at any rate. So,
well, that's a shame because he should have been.
Yeah.
Genius. And that is G.I. Joe Ninja Battles, as we put to bed the three short films. I'm kind of sad. I've been looking forward to watching these. I bought all three of these movies on DVD, have not watched them until it was time to do so, which is incredible restraint on my part, to be honest with you. So really, I deserve some kudos here.
Can we give the fans a preview of what the next G.I. Joe property is? I know that we won't dive into it immediately, but I'm sure they're all eager to know.
Yeah, I mean, though, here's the deal. Next week, we're going to watch an episode of, what is this, Chan? The Real Ghostbusters, St. Patrick's Day episode?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Then, holidays.
I don't know what we have afterwards. Probably gonna go for one of those weird ass like 60s or 70s animated versions of like real live action properties or something.
No, but I'm saying in the world of G.I. Joe, what is the next property?
The next one is Sigma 6.
Sigma 6, which aired from go ahead, Chan.
April. First week of April.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's it? No, we don't get any...
No, I have more, but everybody else keeps starting to say something when I try to say it.
No, there was dead silence for like a full 5 minutes.
There was. It's much like the intro to the show. As soon as I start talking, somebody's going to talk over me. G.I. Joe Sigma 6, 2005 to 2007. So in our chronology, now we're going to go to the mid-aughts. Remembering this, Valor vs. Venom and Ninja Battles were both 2004. So this came out right afterwards. According to this, it's a reimagining of the 80s toy line of G.I. Joe. So instead of being the classic 3¾-inch format of the G.I. Joe figures we know and love from the 80s, most of these figures are 8 inches tall. So these are a bit more like these kind of nouveau G.I. Joe action figures that have been coming out lately, like the very recent ones. And they have more articulation than the original G.I. Joe figures as well. So let's see, the new series offered them a chance to streamline the stories and characters, taking away old continuity and rebooting with younger versions of the cast rendered in the style of anime.
Ugh. That made me disgusted and yawn.
Yeah. Sigma 6 was canceled after 2 years in stores. And the show, it was polarizing for G.I. Joe fans and unsuccessful at retail. In 2007, Hasbro went back to making the classic scale Joe figures for the 25th anniversary line and beyond.
I'm looking at the animation, and while it's better than computer animation, it is another animation style that is very much of its time.
It's anime stylistic from the mid-aughts as done by Americans.
Yeah. It's
however,
Yeah.
Looking at this, our character list, Cobra Commander, Duke, Snake Eyes, Heavy Duty, Scarlet, Tunnel Rat, and a new hero called Long Range.
Oh, God.
Long Range.
But you said there are classic characters in there, too.
I did mention Cobra Commander, Duke, Snake Eyes, Heavy Duty, Scarlet, and Tunnel Rat.
I don't like seeing them in vastly different styles of the original. And it's unsettling that they look like they had work done.
Yeah, they're all supposed to be younger versions of the characters. This is a reboot of the franchise with the same characters, which, you know, that might be fun.
I mean, if it was between that and not getting the old characters, I would choose this, but still.
And according to this, I don't know if they show up in the show, but we get toys of Firefly, Zartan, Shipwreck, Torpedo and Wetsuit, Flint, Gung-Ho, Leatherneck, Rakondo. We're getting Destro. We're getting all the hits here. Oh, okay. And Lieutenant Stone.
Can't wait to see what Destro's metal face looks like in this new version.
guys, we get Lieutenant Stone and Hi-Tech, who was introduced in these movies. Lieutenant Stone is introduced in G.I. Joe Extreme. So, Gina, that moment that you said you would have, you're going to have.
Ooh, they're bringing them all together.
Yeah. So this is going to mix G.I. Joe Extreme as well. Yeah. Okay. You know, as it turns out, I'm more excited for that than I thought I would be.
Okay.
So cool. That's going to be at the beginning of next month, starting season 7 of Knowing Is Half the Podcast. Now I really do wish Sigma 6 could have started with season 6, but that is not what the gods of Hasbro decided. So season 7, Sigma 6.
Oh yeah. They should have called it Sigma 7.
You've got all the alliteration you could ever want. So what are you complaining about?
So wait, which logo did we decide on doing? The one Chan made or the one the fan made?
Oh, no. We're going with the fan made version.
Okay.
Far vastly superior.
I mean, it's better. Are we going to use the one you made for season 8 then, for the second season of Sigma 6?
Yeah,
in which case, probably. You'll have to change the number on it.
Yeah, I've got Photoshop. I'll make that happen.
Okay. So, guys, good news. Season 8's logo has already been determined, unless one of you draws us a better one. But it'd feel weird to waste the one Chan spent actual money on.
Yeah.
Write it off anyway.
We got some cool-ass options.
But the new fan-made one is kind of excellent.
Yeah, hell yeah, it is.
Is that Vincent? Is that who made that one?
Yes.
Great job. You know, I don't think we said it on the show yet. Great job, assuming, and I believe you said it was okay, that will be the official season 7 logo, overtaking the one Chan actually paid money to make. So I think we owe Vincent a t-shirt or something, right?
Definitely. Vincent Florio, yeah, we'll get you. Send us your info, and we'll, for all the work you did, we'll send you a t-shirt.
Yeah, we're gonna put it in the store at the G.I. Joe Knowing Is Half the Podcast T Public store, and I personally will buy you your design on a shirt and send it to you. So send us, you know, your deets, your shirt size, all that. We will take care of that, and the rest of you probably deserve one too. So maybe we just break in the Patreon money and buy everybody a season 7 shirt when that comes out. Right? That seems appropriate.
Yeah, sure.
I know I certainly deserve a t-shirt.
You get nothing.
Okay, patrons, you go to patreon.com/knowingishalfthepodcast. If you can get in before April starts, we're probably going to buy you a t-shirt. It's time, everybody. We owe you. Our patrons. We love our patrons. We should be doing more for our patrons. I know this. We talk about this, and it just hasn't happened. So we owe you at least a t-shirt at this point. So thank you very much for being a part and supporting us. We're going to break the bank and buy everybody t-shirts.
It is time.
It is time. I agree. And then maybe we'll do more, videos for you guys, some new Know Your Joes we talk about doing, some live
Don't
watching.
Don't overpromise. Don't overpromise. Underpromise and overdeliver.
These are ideas that we had, and we should do some of them, even if Gina refuses to be a part of it.
Underpromise and overdeliver. That's how I like to live my life.
I mean, it shows.
Does it? Because I also overextend myself too much, so.
Oh, well, I was going to say overextend and deliver the proper amount. That's the Gina Ippolito story.
That is probably accurate. Overextend, yeah, do it all anyway.
Overextend, complete your projects.
Yeah, that is my MO.
So nobody asked me about Reclaimed. Stop asking me about Reclaimed Detroit episodes. They'll happen when they happen, all right? Look, I'm doing a terrible job getting on this, and I know it, and now you're just making me feel bad, and now I'm in my head about it. So anyway, you can find us at facebook.com/knowingishalfthepodcast. I mentioned the Patreon. We're going to send out some new shirts. So thank you guys so much and ladies for being a part of it. Make sure we got your t-shirt sizes. I'll post in the Patreon for Knowing Is Half the Podcast. Looking for details again in case anything's changed, addresses, what have you. So make sure all of your info is up to date. And we will be doing that before the end of the month. In other words, you can find us on Twitter at G.I. Joe Podcast or individually. I am at Almighty Ray.
I am not.
You can find Chan at AE Doubleback. It's right there every time.
Someone did tweeted AE Doubleback today, and in parentheses they put Chan, and I thought it was brilliant. So that if Calder,
that's how you got to do it now.
Yeah. Calder saw that he got a notification, he would know. Oh well, that one's not for me. It's for Chan, who's trying to make some sort of stupid point, and is then putting emotional labor off on Calder. So good for you. I'm at Gina Ippy.
Yeah, and know that when you tag at AE Doubleback, there is a 50-50 chance you're actually going to reach Calder Holbrook, co-host of that show. Call him full host of that show, instead of Chan, which makes it better.
You know what?
Just for the record.
If you want to get a hold of me on Twitter, just tag at Gina Ippy, and she'll make sure to let me know that I need to get a hold of you.
They know not to do that. They've been listening to this show long enough that they know not to do that.
You know what? It's every episode is someone's first episode. So I hope that person tags you to get to me. I want that sweet, sweet emotional labor from you, Gina.
No, because I won't even do it. I'll just ignore it.
Well, then they'll just have to try harder.
And then that's when they get blocked. So
this is a win-win for me.
Is the show over?
It was over in my mind ages ago.
But gripping up the hole on tight. Go. You got to do the fighting with all of your might. Go. You got to keep the target straight ahead in your sights.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hello, dear listeners. Do you enjoy playing video games with your best friends? Then I have the pod for you. I'm Philip, host of the Gaming Together, a cooperative podcast. Each week, my co-host Nave and I break down a cooperative experience in gaming, and we are always looking for new co-op partners to join us. So come play with us on the Gaming Together podcast.
So I'm standing over this toilet taking a piss, and I'm playing my Pokemon, and I dropped it in the toilet. I remember the Game Boy just tumbling into water. And I remember screaming for my mom, trying to get this Game Boy.
Wait, how old are you?
And she yelled at me. She yelled at me.
Oh my god.
I was like, traumatized. I was like, no, my Pokemon.
That's Gaming Together, a cooperative podcast. Come on down, co-op partners.